Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
Hey, this is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. Senator Mike Lee of Utah, one of the GOP's most outspoken climate skeptics, is likely going to be the top Republican on the powerful Energy and Natural Resources Committee next year. If that does happen, and to be clear, things still need to shake out, it would be a sharp departure from the current committee leadership. It could also have big implications for whoever the next president is after the 2024 elections. To understand more about Lee and his potential impact, I've been reporting with a Politico Congress reporter you might be familiar with.
Hey, it's Blast from the Past. I'm Anthony Adragne, your former host of the Politico Energy podcast, and I'm back thanks to Mike Lee and climate change.
Anthony and I have been talking to our sources about Lee for a while now, and today we discuss what he would mean for ENR, along with Biden and Trump. It's Tuesday, June 18th.
It's really interesting. Senator Mike Lee, who's been in the Senate since 2011, is obviously poised to lead the energy panel, which is a really important post, as listeners know, that covers everything from energy to public lands. But he's kind of a unique figure in that there have been a lot of conservative members that have been senior on this panel before. Mike Lee has kind of made his whole reputation here in Congress on being sort of a confrontational, adversarial figure for folks in both Republican and Democratic leadership. So he's referred to folks as the uniparty. He basically doesn't trust the Washington establishment at all. Seeing somebody with that sort of mindset ascend to a position of power is something we really haven't seen that much in terms of committee leadership here in Congress. There are a couple of things that have to happen before he gets to that place, but it seems like he's going to have a pretty clear path, whether or not that's in a chairmanship or a ranking membership. But yeah, Senator Lee looks poised to have a really major impact. And Josh, you and I have obviously spent a lot of time looking at Senator Lee here. I'm using my position of power here as the former head of this podcast to ask, you know, what do we make of where he is on climate change? And, you know, you were able to get some pretty interesting answers from his office on this.
Yeah, so Senator Lee he's not quite where the rest of the party, or at least leadership in the party, has tried to move Republicans on climate change as far as acknowledging that it's a problem that the federal government at least has some maybe small role in addressing through promoting innovation and technologies. He's someone who's openly on Twitter very mocking of climate science, of quote, alarmism around climate. He likes really taking it to the liberals and environmentalists who have this issue as their top issue. You know, on the policy, I mean, clearly the current leadership structure of Joe Manchin as chair and John Barrasso as ranking member, West Virginia and Wyoming, respectively, these are fossil fuel states. So I don't know if on the policy, on its surface, you would see a huge difference. But I talked to people, you know, around the Republican climate movement. For example, Benji Backer, he's the founder of the American Conservation Coalition, which is this young conservative group that's really tried to push the party to move in a proactive direction. And he said this would be a, quote, step back on the issue if Lee were to ascend to this role, just given, you know, he's really out there mocking climate change and questioning clean energy, whereas other Republicans say clean energy is an addition to fossil fuels. He really takes kind of the Trump line of promoting skepticism around wind and solar and their reliability and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, there is some concern that his public facing message on this stuff just really isn't where, you know, a lot of the Republican leadership wants it to be. And then, you know, as I touched on, obviously Lee sitting atop this committee would mark at least somewhat of a shift from Manchin and Barrasso. I mean, the two of us talked to a lot of Lee's colleagues on the Hill. I mean, what was kind of your takeaway from those conversations around their reaction to him maybe taking on this role?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think I was pleasantly surprised by the degree to which most of them seemed to think that he might warm to this role. There's not a deep track record here. Senator Lee has obviously hugged former President Trump super closely in recent months as Trump prepares to become the presidential nominee for the Republican Party again. For those of us that have been in the space for a long time, you know, he was one of the leading opponents of the Great American Outdoors Act, a major public lands package that enjoyed support from people like Steve Daines, Cory Gardner. You know, he's been a thorn in the side of both parties for a long time. So I think I was surprised to hear, you know, a number of folks express optimism that he would warm to this role. that Senator Martin Heinrich, who appears poised to become the next Democrat, whether in the chair or ranking membership, indicated an openness to working with Senator Lee. So I think it goes to show that this is still the most exclusive club here in Washington. And, you know, the 100 folks that are senators look to find ways to work with each other and to not burn any bridges unnecessarily. And I think that's been borne out with our reporting on this, because certainly looking at his record, particularly in the energy and public land space, I think it'd be hard to think that Senator Lee would have a proclivity, let's say, for bipartisanship that, you know, you really do need to manage this committee.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, he, in response to our questions, when we asked him, would he be inclined to kind of strike deals where possible? For example, we know Manchin and Barrasso are talking about permitting, right? They're trying to negotiate on that. He had a pretty pointed quote of bipartisanship for the sake of unleashing American energy, quote, like rolling back job-killing federal regulations and letting local communities determine their own future is good, but bipartisanship that seeks to bury Americans in red tape and government control is bad. He kind of is setting his terms early on for sure. So I think it's an open question how he would go about it.
I think totally. And so let me ask you, having been covering the space in recent years, you know, what do you think a Mike Lee atop ENR would mean for either like a second Trump or Biden administration? And how would those look differently?
Yeah, so I think if Trump were to win the White House, right, I mean, we know that Lee has really positioned himself as a Trump ally. So I think he would, of course, enjoy the most power in that alignment, where really I think he could use the perch at ENR to not only undermine some of these big Democratic spending laws like the IRA, Inflation Reduction Act, Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, CHIPS Act. I mean, a lot of that is under the purview of ENR, a lot of that spending. We know not a lot of it has gone out the door, as Politico has really documented. So I think you could actually see him potentially try to stop the agencies from implementing some of those laws. These would be now agencies of the Trump administration if that were to happen. So I think in that alignment, he'd have a ton of power. Now, if Biden does hold on, but the Senate flips, we know that Republicans have a favorable position in the election when it comes to taking the Senate. I think he still could use that perch, you know, of course, more so to hold hearings, maybe to try to really undermine the IRA and some of Democratic spending initiatives. And then as far as like proactive policy, I mean, right, clearly the things he would be interested in would be in the public lands area. And I think we've seen him focus over the years on the Antiquities Act, right, which is this law that gives presidents, you know, unilateral authority to set national monuments. And he's really pushed back on some of that activity in Utah. Whereas a Martin Heinrich, if that is the pairing, right, takes a totally different approach to public lands. He's put forth legislation to actually charge mining companies royalties on public lands. We know mining is very top of mind right now with the green energy transition, and he wants to see a totally different approach to how we do that in the United States as we develop more in that area. And then he's someone who's really played up clean energy production on public lands, and Lee is all about federal government should have less control. There should be more state and local control. So, I mean, that would be the area, I think, to watch when it comes to like proactive policy. And if Biden is still in the White House, but Lee is eager to make his mark. So antennas are up. Appreciate it, Anthony. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks.
Also, a federal appeals court ruled that the state of Michigan may pursue its legal challenge to Enbridge's Line 5 petroleum pipeline in state court. It's a reversal of a lower court's decision and gives a win to Michigan's attorney general, who's seeking to shut down the pipeline. For years, Michigan and Enbridge have been locked in a long-running political battle in multiple lawsuits over the fate of the pipeline, which carries 540,000 barrels per day of oil and other fuel from Western Canada through the Strait of Mackinac into Ontario. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch. And subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back on Thursday.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline, and they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.